Meet or on the rocks. It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
We're joined now by the host of Send It In, the BetQL Network, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider PJ Glasser. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. PJ, always great to have you on with us. Always great to get some wins after we talked to you on a Wednesday, as Gene has dubbed it. You gave us Georgia, you gave us Maryland last weekend. Looking forward to finding out and picking your brain about what you think about Saturday's action. And Texas and Vanderbilt is a game that we have highlighted. See exactly what Texas does to rebound from that loss to Georgia. Well, how are you,
Pete? Wait, can I do the PJ thing?
Don't insult our guest right out of the game. You're going to insult our guest right out of the game.
No. I'm like, Danger, great to be with you guys. Gene, I love Texas in a bounce back spot. PJ, how are you today? I'm not insulting you, am I?
Guys, I don't even know why you have me on the show. Gene's got me down. I mean, it's pretty good. Nah, good to be with you guys, man. We were, Georgia came through for us last week, but we're going to be on Texas this week against Vandy. You know, for all the reasons that everybody loved Texas last week against Georgia. You know, a lot of people feel like they have the best offensive line in the country. All the weapons that they have at receiver, their defense has been excellent this season. I mean, look, we got Georgia as a dog last week. You know, like, regardless of who they were going to play, Georgia was going to show up and they were going to look really, really good. But because of how great Vandy's been as an underdog this year, they beat Bama outright, they beat Kentucky outright, they beat Virginia Tech outright, they played Missouri really tough. I mean, they've been great in this spot all season, and now everybody sees Vandy with another big number, getting 18.5. But, you know, as good as some of these other teams are, guys, Texas is going to be the best team that they've played, and they're getting Texas off of a loss. They're getting them, you know, off of a bad performance against the Dogs last week. So I like Texas. Anything under 3 touchdowns, you know, I'd take them up to 20.5. I'd lay it with the Longhorns this week. I think they bounce back in a big way.
We got another one of these conference games in name only, I suppose. Feels weird here, but Indiana. I don't know what to make of this Indiana team. You get Washington coming in. PJ, is this a game where you can find some value? How would you play this?
I like the Huskies, guys, and this is just one of those games, and it's so tough to do when you're betting, right? Because last week, Indiana was laying 6.5 against Nebraska, and for anybody that took Nebraska, I mean, the last thing you want to do is come back the very next week and fade this Indiana team that's been an absolute wagon. I mean, they're 6-1 against the spread. They're 7-0 straight up. Their quarterback's not going to be playing this week, Curtis Rourke, so they're going to go with their backup, Kaven Jackson, which is why this line is under the 7. I just think, you know, last week everybody, a lot of smart people were looking to fade Indiana because their schedule was a little bit soft. They thought Nebraska off of a bye week with a very good defense was the game to fade them. Well, Indiana beats them by like 50, and now nobody's going to want to fade them again. It just feels like the perfect storm, though, this week because, guys, I love when it's like everybody's looking forward to fading a team, and it feels like everybody's in on that game, and then it doesn't work out, and then the very next week everybody's out on it, right? It feels like nobody wants to come back with Washington this week. College game day is in Bloomington this year. It reminds me very similar to last year when Kurt Cignetti, who's the head coach of Indiana, was at JMU last season. The Dukes were undefeated. College game day goes to Harrisonburg, Virginia, and then they lose outright to Appalachian State. It was their only loss all year in the regular season. And now here we go again with a Kirk Cignetti team, undefeated, college game day's coming. Everybody's starting to talk about what potentially could be for the Hoosiers down the road. You know, Big Ten title game, college football playoff. They have a road trip to Ohio State coming up in the middle of November. Washington, I know they have 3 losses on the season, but they're a solid team. They got a good running game. Their defense is pretty good as well. I think they can keep that game close, guys, and I'd maybe take some money line as well.
All right, we got a big test ahead for the midshipmen. Navy still undefeated, and Notre Dame the opponent this weekend, PJ. Which direction are you leaning here?
Yeah, I mean, what a great story these military academies are, right? Navy and Army both undefeated. Again, Navy guys, even though they haven't lost a game this year, like, who have they played? I mean, it's been Bucknell, it's been Temple, it's been Tulsa, it's been Charlotte. I mean, they're just playing a bunch of nobodies. And now you're getting Notre Dame, who's one of the best defenses in the country. Reason I love this game, guys, I'll never forget it. I was watching a Navy-Notre Dame game a couple years ago in Marcus Freeman's first year with the Irish as head coach. And on the broadcast, they talked about how when Marcus Freeman was defensive coordinator at Cincinnati, one of the years his defenses gave up 500 yards of total offense to Navy. And they were talking about how Marcus Freeman never forgot that game. It always scarred him, and he always takes it personal whenever he goes up against Navy. Well, now he gets to go up against Navy again. His defense, two of the last 3 years, has given up 6 points and 3 points to Navy offense. And it's a big game, obviously. I mean, they're undefeated. Notre Dame cannot afford to lose this game, or else they're going to be out of the playoff with a loss to Northern Illinois and Navy. So I just think it's such a step up in class for Navy. I think they're going to have a tough time scoring on this Notre Dame defense. They're going to have their full attention. And ever since that game against Cincinnati when Freeman was the defensive coordinator, he's always made sure that he's had his teams ready to go up against the triple option. So give me Notre Dame. Navy's going to be a trendy underdog on Saturday. I think it's fool's gold. I like the Irish.
We're talking to PJ Glass, your host of Send It In on the BetQL Network. How about another team that is undefeated? I don't know if they're good or not, PJ. That would be BYU. Now, you look at their resume so far. Okay, they've beaten a couple ranked teams, SMU by three. They beat K-State. They beat Baylor. But now they go to Central Florida. BYU 7-0. UCF is 3-4. But yet, BYU is getting the points here. This looks too good to be true. Am I reading this correctly? What are your thoughts here on BYU against UCF?
Not at all, Gene. I mean, you just said the handicap right there. Not only is BYU 7-0 straight up this season, they're 7-0 against the spread. They're the number 11 team in the country going up against unranked and 3-4 UCF. And they're underdogs. This line opened at BYU -2.5, and now it's swung midweek to UCF being the favorite. And we know that that's professional money coming in on UCF. Sometimes, guys, it's just really simple, and you just trust the line movement, and the line kind of tells you who's going to win the game. Don't overthink this one. Take UCF. BYU, I mean, they're not going to cover every single spread. They're not going to win every single game. I think odds makers and the professionals are kind of telling you that this game on paper might look like an upset, but on the betting lines, UCF is the favorite. So love the Knights, probably my favorite bet of the week at -1.5.
All right, let's shift gears and go over to the NFL and our weekend of action here. And we're talking a lot of Bills and Seahawks, as you'd imagine. PJ, as the Bills travel to the Pacific Northwest, fresh off of their win against Tennessee, and Seattle with an impressive win against Atlanta. Which way are you leaning here with the Seahawks and the Bills?
Guys, we got the Bills going up against Geno this week. It's going to be a good one. I don't know about you guys. This line for me is head-scratching, right? So sometimes I like playing the game where I like flipping a game and looking at it if it was reversed. So in this case, if the game was in Buffalo, right? They're telling us that right now the Bills are 3.5-point favorites in Seattle. Well, if you flip this line and Seattle was playing in Buffalo, the line would be 7.5, right? You give 2 points for home field. So if a neutral site game would be 5.5, you put it in Buffalo, it's 7.5. Well, last week when the Bills played the Titans, Bills were 8.5-point favorites in that game. You're telling me the Bills, when they go up, you're telling me the Titans and the Seahawks are 1 point difference? I don't get this line. I think Buffalo wins the game, but, man, it feels like a lot of value there with the Seahawks now that we're getting the hook, too. I know DK Metcalf might not play, and that's obviously a big deal. But you look at the Bills this year, and I'm sure you guys, I mean, you know, like, they're beating the teams that they're supposed to beat, right? Their wins are all against teams that have a losing record. You know, they've beaten the Titans, they've beaten the Jags, the Dolphins, and their two losses this year are against the Ravens and the Texans. Now, the Seahawks, I certainly think, are in a class below Baltimore and Houston, but I think they're above every team that they've played as well, which is, I think, why they win, but I don't think they cover the 3.5. So I just think we're getting too much value here on the Seahawks. I'll take the points with Seattle on Sunday.
PJ, a change of quarterback out of necessity in Cleveland, where the Ravens, the line I'm looking at right now, Ravens going on the road, minus the 9, and before you came on, we were discussing the Browns at 1-6. Are we ready to count their year over here, or does the new start here with a new quarterback, and now Ken Dorsey is going to be taking over the play calling, is that enough there to get you to take the points in the Browns this week?
I like the Browns plus the points. I mean, how can you not like them with Jameis over Watson? You know, we saw what they looked like last year with kind of a gunslinger and Flacco, and obviously took them all the way to the playoffs. And now they're kind of getting the same thing with Jameis. There's going to be some good, there's going to be some bad, but I think it's going to help them a lot throughout the rest of the season. Obviously, no more Amari Cooper. We'll see if over the next couple of weeks the Browns continue to trade off pieces. But, guys, it just feels like a good time to fade the Ravens a little bit. You know, their offense has been so hot and they've been so on fire. And now you get them in a divisional road game at 1 p.m. And I can just tell you, as a Ravens fan, these games kind of always tend to go the same way. Lamar and the Ravens usually win in Cleveland, but it feels like one of those games where they always get off to a slow start. Like, it's always like 7-3, 10-3 at halftime. And then in the second half, they start to open it up a little bit. So I actually like the first half under. That's my favorite play in this game at 21.5. Obviously, it's a short week for Baltimore, coming off another great offensive performance against Tampa Bay. And just with the divisional matchup, Cleveland being at home, I think they're going to muck this game up a little bit, keep it ugly. And with Jameis, you know, going instead of Deshaun Watson, I think he'll be able to move the ball a little bit more. Obviously, a nice matchup for him going up against this Ravens secondary. So maybe flipping field position a little bit. The Browns haven't scored 20 points, guys, in any game this season. They're the only offense to do that so far. So I like that first half under 21.5.
Hey, Doug Peterson gets to keep his job for another week as the Jags return from London after dispatching of the Patriots and splitting their London series there. Green Bay, the opponent, PJ. And if you're circling this one, I have to imagine it's because you think there might be some value there with the Jags. What are your thoughts?
I do, Danger. I do. And it's really just all fate about Green Bay and the spot for them. Obviously, coming off a nice win against Houston, game-winning field goal. But next week, guys, I mean, they got a big one with Detroit at home in Green Bay. So that's going to be a monster game. And all you got in between is this road game against the two-win Jags, who obviously have been struggling this season. Now, I know a lot of people might be a little bit nervous about the spot for Jacksonville coming home from London, but keep in mind they did this last year where they played back-to-back weeks out in London and then came back. Last year they won and covered as favorites against Indianapolis. So I think if there's any team equipped to do this, it is Jacksonville because they go out to London every single year. But Green Bay historically has not been good in the state of Florida when Rodgers was there. They would always struggle against the Jags and the Bucks and the Dolphins, and it's just never been a state that's been good to them. They always struggle against these Florida teams. So I like Jacksonville. It feels like a line that probably should be 3.5, but because of how well these favorites and these road favorites have been doing the last couple weeks, we're getting some value here on Jacksonville, and Green Bay is 4.5. So I think this could be a little bit of a sleepy, trappy spot for Green Bay. How can they not be looking ahead to that showdown with Detroit next week? So I'll take the points here with the Jags.
Yeah, PJ, another game that, honestly, I don't know how you're going to pick this one. Texans coming off a loss to Green Bay. They're back home taking on the Colts. Already these two teams met one another back in week one. It's actually the Colts getting 5. I think most of us would think, hey, the Texans should win this game, but is 5 points too many, PJ?
It is, Gene. I mean, look, the Texans are 5-2 this year, guys, but they have a negative point differential, and all 5 of their wins have been by 1 score. Like, they're not blowing anybody out. Keep in mind, too, they've already played the Colts this season. So, I mean, we know in the NFL it's tough to beat a team 2 times. So that's really just part of the handicap. You know, it's the second time Indianapolis is getting a look at them, and the fact that Houston is not blowing anybody out. So in a divisional game, you know, this line's already moved from 6.5 to 6. Now it's down to 5. I like Indianapolis to keep this game close. They played week 1, and that was by far Anthony Richardson's best game of the season. So this matchup against Houston, he really exploited it in week 1. Now Indianapolis gets to see him again without Nico Collins. I like the Colts, guys, here, plus the points. You know, these underdogs are going to start coming around again. We saw how well they were doing the first 3 or 4 weeks. Then obviously the last 2 weeks, these favorites have just been going on a crazy run. I think the underdogs are going to start picking up here. It feels like the favorites, they're there's a little too much value right now on these underdogs. It feels like these lines are a little bit overvalued just because of how these road teams and how these favorites have been doing. So a lot of dogs this week that I like, a lot of home underdogs, and the Colts being one of the road dogs that I like this week at +5.
We have reached the sports equinox on the calendar, PJ. We've got NBA action, which got underway last night. The NHL is in full swing, of course, the NFL, and we still have the World Series to contend with. It all gets underway Friday. We know the lineup, obviously. We know the matchup, the Yankees and the Dodgers, and while we have you, when we have game one coming up on Friday night, we'd have to get a sense of which way you're leaning here for this series.
I like the Dodgers, guys. I thought that the Dodgers and the Padres were the two best teams, and I thought whoever won that series was going to win the World Series. So the Dodgers obviously advanced. They take care of the Mets, who a lot of people felt like were the team of destiny. They had a great thing going. And, I mean, just watching that series, the Dodgers were the far superior team. And, you know, the Yankees, it feels like up to this point, they've really gotten fortunate. You had to figure the Orioles and the Astros were probably the two teams that would have given them the toughest series. Obviously, both of those teams get knocked out in the wild card round. And then it was basically just the Yankees versus the AL Central. It was the Tigers, Guardians, and Royals. They dispose of the Royals. They take care of the Guardians. So it's going to be a good series. I just think the Dodgers are the best team. The Yankees really haven't been tested like the Dodgers have been up to this point. So I like the Dodgers, guys. Take care of business. I'd take L.A. My guess would be Dodgers in 6, I think, get it done.
Yeah, PJ, if you had any thoughts on the NBA tonight, if anybody wants to play here, you've got 10 games tonight. You've got Milwaukee actually giving up points in Philadelphia. That's because Philadelphia's not playing their top two stars. Is there anything on the NBA schedule tonight that jumps out at you?
One play I do like, Gene, is going to be the under in Memphis and Utah at 228.5. So my advice to people out there, guys, betting the NBA early on in the season is I like betting these teams that have a lot of continuity, right? I mean, obviously in the offseason there's trades, there's different free agent pickups. Some of these teams are trying to work out the chemistry and work out the kinks with the two new pieces. Just look at last night's games, right? I mean, you obviously had the Knicks and the T-Wolves as the two losers. And both of those teams were involved in a big trade. And then you had the other two teams, the Lakers and the Celtics, who returned their starting lineups and all their key players. So those teams, I think, have the upper hand early on in the season when they kind of know each other, when it's time for each of the stars to take turns. They understand defensive assignments. They kind of know where everybody's going to be. Whereas the Knicks and the T-Wolves, for some of their big players that they're relying on this year, it's going to take them a little bit of time. So for this Memphis-Utah game tonight, I like the Grizzlies a lot this year in the Western Conference, but they were so beaten up last year with injuries. But, man, you look at their roster with Marcus Smart and Jaren Jackson Jr. and Zach Edey. I mean, they're going to be one of the best defensive teams in the NBA this year. So I'm not looking to bet Minnesota, like, on the spread because I'm a little bit worried about it taking them some time to gel. But I'm not concerned about their defense at all. They're going to be able to guard. And going up against Utah tonight, who's going to be one of the bottom five teams in the NBA, I think it's a good start for them. So under 228.5 in Utah and Memphis.
Hey, PJ, quick philosophical question for you. If you're somebody who does some wagering and you get offered the cash out, do you ever take the cash out when it's offered to you? And I'm asking, well, I'm asking for me. Because you just made a real compelling argument about the World Series and your Dodgers pick over the Yankees. Somebody who got the Yankees, I thought at a pretty good value at the start of the postseason. That cash out does look a little bit enticing, and you know, you typically if I stick with the Yankees, that almost ensures that New York will be losing the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, usually, Danger, I don't cash out, especially on a future. I try and hedge it if I can. I think for somebody who's in your spot that maybe have a future on the Yankees, like what I would do personally if you don't want to cash out is you can look to hedge it in a way where you take the Dodgers at -1.5, you know, and you get some plus money on them at +155. So that obviously if they take game one and you're in a little bit of a hole and they take game two and they're up 2-0, well, you got that plus 155 ticket on the Dodgers. And then, look, you can come right back and bet some more Yankees to win the series because you know that you're going to get more plus money on it. So, obviously, you can take the cash out, make yourself some more money. But I like to hedge a little bit and try and find different ways that I can still bet into the series and maybe even find a way to win myself more money. So my advice to you and everybody out there is if you're thinking about a cash out, I'd honestly just hedge by maybe taking the Dodgers on an alternate line. And obviously that way, if the Dodgers, you know, win in four, five, or six games, you cash that ticket. And if the Yankees win the series, then you got your future to look back on. And if it goes to a game seven, then you can either just ride out your ticket or you can come right back and bet the Dodgers on the money line. So some different ways you can attack it. You can certainly cash out. But me personally, I always look to try and hedge certain things.
Excellent advice from PJ Glasser. See, it's fun talking about the Yankees and Dodgers for us Mets fans, PJ. We just can look back. What a fun series that was, all three of them. And now we look ahead and you're worried about who might leave this team, the guy who, the first baseman who hit all the home runs. Why am I drawing a
blank? Oh, yeah, the Polar Bear. What? That's his nickname, right? They call him the Polar Bear?
Yeah. Why am I drawing a blank here?
Pete Alonso, you know, he was an absolute beast this season for the Mets. Personally, guys, I cannot wait for this World Series. And, man, that Yankees outfielder that they have, not the guy in center,
no.
But the guy in right
Greg
field.
Ryan, right, yeah.
Yeah, I know. He's clutch.
Trudeau!
Yes.
Oh, Juan Soto. Oh, God, Soto.
I'm fearful that I'm going to get a meme from PJ at like 7:15 Sunday night here about Geno Smith.
Here we go. PJ, it's great having you on with us, man. Appreciate the time. Let's talk again next week.
Always a pleasure, fellas. Good luck. Talk to you guys next week.
You got it. PJ Glasser is the host of Send It In on the BetQL Network. You can find it in the free-to-download Odyssey app. You can find it on YouTube and Twitch. And our Odyssey Sports Betting Insider Calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app.
Love that guy. Just plays along. Yeah.
The absolute best. And giving you good advice, too. I mean, if you're somebody like me, you know, look, I don't know exactly what's going on. This guy is in it. He's that advice about cashing out. Like, I never really want to cash out. I feel like that's a coward move, right? I want to cash out and just take what they're offering. I don't like that.
Well, sometimes you might have to. Maybe, but, like, when you place the future and, like, circumstances change and you might, you know.
The hedge is nice, though. I like what he's talking about there, and that might be the way to play it. However, I kind of like the Yankees. I still kind of like the Yankees to win this series.
See, what I like, you know, there are many things I like talking about, PJ, but like talking about the square money versus the sharp money, and I'm glad we kind of landed on the BYU game. Wait a second. They're ranked 11th. They're 7-0. They're taking on a team with a losing record, but BYU is getting points. Why?
Because the pro money is coming
pro
in.
Pro money, yeah. So don't
Central
be like,
Florida.
That's like, oh my gosh, that's a great deal. Yeah. No, it's not.
Yeah, Central Florida. That's the pick. Love PJ for sharing that wisdom with us. And let's all get some winners. Let's make some money this weekend in college and pro football. And maybe even the World Series as well. We'll get Jim Riley in here next to the Barreled Up podcast, Ball Cap Sports. We'll talk more World Series. We have time for your calls at 866-4326. And I'll explain next in the sports bar why it's not Josh Allen this season as MVP unless we see something drastically happen here. But the feels like an evergreen topic with Josh Allen and the MVP consideration. And history has shown that at some point the wheels fall off of the MVP train for Josh Allen. I'll explain.
Okay. What is the second most popular sport in America? I mean, the NFL being number one, and I'm not talking about college football. I'm talking about the four big ones. I'm going to try to make an argument for something you might not expect.
Okay. We've got that and more on the way. Don't forget, Jim Riley of the Barreled Up Podcast joining us here in about a half an hour as well. Join us anytime at 866-4326, 585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.